would come and share with us a little bit of her story about being a mom. So Sandra Blair, you come on up. And so for those of you who don't know Sandra, this is Sandra. And she's married to Derek, who you would see lots of Sundays singing on our worship team. You would hear her dad often praying for us, but very rarely do you see Sandra. But the cool part is, she's here. And she said yes when I asked. And I just love it. When God starts tapping people on the heart and then you start saying yes, I get excited because I know God's doing something. And so I've asked Sandra just to share a little bit about being a mom. And so here she is.
I'm just going to grab a Kleenex. Hopefully I won't need it. Okay. So Jen asked me last Sunday, as I was walking out the door, speak this Sunday, and she said, speak on motherhood. And I was thinking, wow, that's a very broad topic. How do I narrow this down? So thinking about it over the course of the week, I came down to the foundation for being a mom for me is praying for my children. I have three children. Jacob is 12, Jessica's 10, and Jackson is 7 this week. So when Jackson was an infant, each night I would lay him down and I would kneel beside his crib and pray as he fell asleep. Sorry, putting this together was going down memory lane. It was a really uncertain time for us as we didn't have a full diagnosis for him. And we were uncertain as to the severity of his condition. So I put him in his bed and I would kneel on the floor beside his bed and I would pray each night. It was a time where I felt fearful and I felt unequipped as a mom. But I constantly reminded myself that God does not give us what we cannot handle. And I often would say that to myself and tell myself, believe that, because it's true. After praying, I would get up from his room and leave. And as he slept, knowing that I had covered him in prayer and released him into God's hands. In turn, God released my mind and gave me his peace. Lamentations 2:19 says, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands toward him for the life of your young children. I continued this routine, praying in his room each night. Then I started a routine of going to each child's room and praying for them while they were sleeping. I would pray, and I continue to pray, that God, that they would love God with all of their heart, have a deep-rooted faith as they grow up, pray for their protection, their health, school, Christian friends, their teachers, the list goes on, and of course, my role as their mom. Just recently, I heard a song in a playlist, this past week actually, from Natalie Grant, entitled, When I Leave the Room. She wrote it for her three children, and the words really hit my heart. It was good night. Looks like we made it through the day. The moon sighs, and I know that we're okay. Sleep tight. I love to watch you drift away. I would come with you, but on my knees I'll stay. There's nothing more that I can do. And I ask the angel armies to stand by when I leave the room. Good night. There will be storms that we come through. In time, we slay dragons, me and you. I'll always want to hold you tight, keep you safe with all my might. So I will leave Jesus next to you when I leave the room. I realize that being a mom and raising up three children in a way that is pleasing to God requires time spent in prayer. When I was growing up, each morning... Oh, I shouldn't have looked at you, Mom, because you're crying. I know where my mom would be each morning, and she was always by the fireplace praying for each one of us kids. And now in their home, they have a prayer room dedicated, and they pray not only for me, but for my children. Thank you for that, Mom. And her mother, my grandma, when she passed away, In her room, I found a prayer journal. And in that prayer journal, there were pages on even just me and details I didn't even know that she prayed about. And I was one of many grandchildren, and there were many great-grandchildren, and she had all of us in that book. And I just think that's amazing. And I want to pass that on to my children, that they know and believe in the power of prayer. Yesterday, as I sat in the kitchen preparing all this after work, the house was quiet, the kids were away with Derek, and I thought, how am I going to conclude this? And as I was sitting there, there was a knock on the door, and I went to the front door, and they were home. And there were three smiling faces yelling, "Happy Mother's Day," and they had roses for me. And I just thought, that's it. That's a privilege to be their mom.
Now I have the privilege to introduce you to our speaker this morning. I have known her for close to 30 years, over 30 years. I love the way she does friendship. I love the way she does family. I love the way she seeks the Lord. I love the way she cooks. I love the way she opens her home in hospitality. I love the way she has this fearless spirit about asking questions. I love the way she loves people. I love the way she loves the church. And just, you know, when you see her and her husband together, you know that they love each other. And I'm so blessed that I get to call her friend. And so I'm going to invite Tanya to come up. And she's going to, I know, I couldn't help it. But I'm so like, wow, God, that you gave me such a wonderful friend. And that she's going to share with us this morning what the Lord has given to her for us.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all of you. And it is a little nerve-wracking to be up here, needless to say. I can jump around with kids. I can do presentations at work. But when she asked me to actually share with you, I got a little nervous. And especially because she said, can you talk about, you know, mom or mom's day or talk about being a mom or whatever is on your heart? And I said to her, I don't know what to say. I really don't. If my kids were standing up here, they'd have maybe not quite as gracious a list as what Jen just had. And because I really live by grace alone, and I am certainly not an expert. And Jen said, well, just say that. So that's it. No, I'm just kidding. So I found this about a week ago. Stephanie Burton had this on her Facebook page. So if you want to show it, Henry, this made me laugh. It says, you know the footprints one, the footprints poem? Where you see one set of footprints is where I carried you. That long groove where I dragged you kicking and screaming. Unfortunately, I have to admit that I have a ton of grooves in my walk. And this is one of them. So, anyway, I thought that was really funny and it was very appropriate. When I started preparing what I was going to say, I had so many different thoughts and ideas, and I just kept saying, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? What do you want me to share with them? What do you want me to speak on? And I had tons of ideas running through my head. And normally when I write something, because I do a lot of writing for different things, I usually put all my ideas and then the title comes at the end, right? You kind of sum it all up in a title. And this time instead, I really felt that I was had a title, you know, it came to mind. And I started from that instead of, and it helped me focus on the ideas instead of going the other way around. Now, it is Mom's Day, and, you know, I know all the guys are settling back and going, good, I don't have to listen today, I'm not a mom or a mom-like person, but I don't want you checking out. So, this is the title of my thing. So, Henry, if we go to the next one. Things I've learned from being a mom, but check that out, things I'm learning going through life. Because whether you're a mom or a dad or a mom-like person or a youth or a child or a grandparent or whatever stage of life you are at, these are things that we can all use and all do. So this is, you know, so guys, boys at the back, you don't need to check out of this one because it's for you as well. So a little bit About me, for those that don't know me, we moved here to Barrie almost 17 years ago now, and this was our first, our church home here in Barrie. And I'm going to show you a little picture. You want to go to the next one? This is Chris and I, if you've not met us before, and this is what we used to look like before being a mom. And we've been married for almost 25 years. It's 25 years. It is 25 years. And can I just say that when God gives out crowns to Chris, he's going to have several for having lived with me. When you marry somebody like me, you will be loved fiercely and passionately, and you may get a few laughs in there, but you're also going for a little bit of a roller coaster ride. And so his faithfulness and steadfastness and his strength and his grace and patience have been an incredible blessing to my journey and to my kids' journey and to a lot of his friends as well. And I know he's sitting there going, I told you not to talk about me, because he's the quiet one of the two of us. If you go to the next picture, if you don't know my family at all, these are my little guys. These are two of my children that made me a mom. They don't look like that anymore. This is when Toy Story was the soundtrack of our life. And, this is the year we actually moved to Barrie. So Fletcher is 3 and Brayden just turned 2 in this picture. And that Tigger shirt, for those who were Fletcher's Sunday school teachers, thank you. Because that Tigger shirt is very appropriate for him as a kid. And Brayden didn't have a whole lot to say, but when he said it, it was, we had to listen. And so anyway, that's my little guys. I wasn't going to say this, but for those in this group that Mom's Day is a really hard day, I have 3 babies in heaven, too, that I will meet someday. And so if this is a really hard day for you, just know that God is with you. And he's there to comfort you and to be with you. So I wasn't going to say that, but it just kind of came to my mind. But if so, just rely on him. He is there for you. When I was becoming a mom, I read so many books. I probably drove my friends crazy. I drove Chris crazy. I drove my mom crazy. I couldn't get enough because I was terrified. I was terrified of just blowing it. I was terrified of not doing the right thing. I was terrified of, I was fearful, I was nervous, and I just kept thinking, what do I have to give as a mom? Because I had seen all these amazing moms, and I thought, I can't do that. I don't know what I'm doing. And my mom, I called my mom one day, and I'm telling her about this book I'm reading, and she just, and if you know my mom, she's not the gentlest lady ever. So she just looked at me and she said, Tanya, stop it. And I said, what? And she said, you're fretting about nothing. She says, what you need to do is just love them the best you can and pray. So I love what you said, Sandra, because that leads me to my first thing of things that we learn as we journey through life, and that is the power of prayer. And, Sandra said it so perfectly that I won't necessarily expand as much as I was going to do. But growing up, as some of you know, we certainly did not have a, especially in my younger years, a Christian home, as you would call it. But my mom became a Christian, and she learned how to pray, and she taught me to pray. I am not, let's just say, there are people who really know how to pray well, and they seem to be able to do it for a long time. They don't get the squirrel syndrome, you know, where your mind just goes off and you get completely distracted. That's me. I pray, and I'm like, I'm right with you, Lord, and then I start thinking about something else. But she did teach me to pray in all circumstances. And one of the stories I've told my small group many times, and I think I've told my kids as well, is my mom used to pray like Sandra does, you know, in each of our rooms, over our stuff. And so I was a Christian teenager, and sometimes I guess I went to places that my mom thought were not the best places for me to be going. We won't go into details. But she didn't think that Christian kids should be going there. So I would go and I'd be like, Mom, I'm fine. So I would come home, and where would I find my mom? But by my bed, or in her bed, praying for me. Praying that I would not be tempted. Praying that I would be safe. Praying that I would love Jesus enough to make good choices. And, you know, sometimes as a teenager, I'd be like, oh, Mom, get out of my room. Like, stop it. And in fact, my sister, if she were here, she would say to her, you're ruining my love life. Because if Mom wasn't too sure about the guy she'd bring home, she'd be praying, right? Praying for the right person to come along. And so that taught me a lot. It taught me about the fact that I can't control everything that's going on around me, whether it's your kids, whether it's your siblings, whether it's the people at work, whether it's the people at church, whether it's your friends. I can't control them, but I can trust in a mighty, faithful God. And I can trust that if I pray, He is hearing me. And I can trust that I can lift them up to the Lord, and He is with them. And He is going to never, ever leave them or forsake them. And so I loved, Sandra, what you said, because that is what I'm learning to do, or have been doing, is I pray. I pray for my kids. I pray for my siblings. I pray for you. I pray for my friends. I pray because I can trust Him fully and completely. And I have a little note here that I added quickly last night. Man, you can turn your ears off. Something weird happens when you hit about 45 as a lady, and it's called you wake up in the middle of the night for no apparent reason. Men, you may be subject to it because your room temperature probably goes up or your bed temperature goes up. But we're all awake at about 3 a.m. We could probably all text each other. Or if it's very funny on Facebook, you see a whole bunch of people on at 3 in the morning. This is my time of prayer. And I've actually shared that with Debbie before, is when I'm up in the middle of the night, I pray. What better time? So ladies, if you're struggling to fall asleep, hey, take the time, you might as well, right? You might as well be there. You know what's funny? I'm looking across and I see all these young women going, why don't you just close your eyes and sleep? You'll see. You'll get there. You will get there. So it's a great time and opportunity to pray. So here are some scriptures. Number one, Philippians 4:6 is probably one that you're very, very familiar with. Can we say this together so that it just really, like, sinks into your heart deeply? Ready? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Do not be anxious for anything. And you know what? I don't say this as a way of saying I've got this, because I don't. But we're journeying together through this. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. This leads me to my next about the seeking wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask. We should pray. I loved watching Kingston be dedicated today. I loved watching fiancés or the people getting married, the bands being read or whatever you call that. We started here, like I said, when my kids were 3 and 2. And what I've learned through going through life is that we can't do this on our own. You can't do this journey on your own. You need community. God developed or designed it that way. And, you know, community is scary. I get that. You know, oftentimes when we talk about community, when we talk about church family, when we talk about friendships, especially in women's ministry, I'll get, yeah, but I was hurt by. I was offended by. Or this happened to me before. You know what? We are all broken people. And I have to say, I have too. I've been offended. I've been hurt. and patronized, but you know what? I've probably done it to others too, because we're broken people. We're broken people. But the fact is, we can learn so much through those opportunities and those circumstances. We can learn to forgive and be forgiven. We can learn to grow and to encourage each other. And I think the fact that I had a church family, and if you're new here, this is a wonderful church family. Not perfect, but wonderful. If you are part of our church family, can I encourage you to get connected? Don't be afraid. Don't let fear stop you from getting connected to whoever that might be. Join a small group. Find a ministry that you're involved in, that you'd like to get involved with. Find a Bible study. Go and shoot arrows with men. Whatever it is that you need to do, get involved in community. Because here's a little thing about community. So when my kids were little, and all people who have had little kids or grandchildren know this thing, on your way to church, it's not always calm in the car. I don't know, getting them out in the morning is not the easiest thing. And so you'd come in and you'd be frazzled and you'd think, oh my gosh, I'm the worst mom ever and I'm going to go have to put a smiley face on at church and everybody's going to think, oh, she's got it all together. And I'm sitting there going, I have nothing together. And you know what community does? Community is me walking in and seeing a Colette Webb saying, I love your kids. They're just so great. I just love you. Oh my goodness, do you know how much that changes you? Because you start realizing that you're not the only one who loves your kids, right? And that you don't have to have it all together because somebody's got your back. Somebody else is there. So I look at little Kingston and Kendall, we want to be there for you and for Kingston and for the little ones in this church and for the youth and for each of you. We want to be there for you guys to grow them up in the Lord, because moms and dads, it's hard to do it alone. So don't try to do it alone. There's people there to love your kids, to encourage them. I think back to when I used to do children's ministry and the Sunday school teachers. And I was thinking of the people that have spoken into my kids' lives and into Chris and my life so, so powerfully. And I was saddened because a lot of them are not here anymore. But like a Peggy Galbraith and an Artis Harris and a Shirley Hansel who would just, take my rambunctious two little boys and just, do castles and teach them about David and Daniel and Samson and instilled the word of God into their hearts. So thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that, because that is what we are to do as family. And I was saying to Rob this morning, I'm going to mention you. Is that okay? Because sometimes kids ask you questions, especially as they get older, that are really hard. And so I was really glad to have Rob there to answer those questions and to challenge Fletcher at a level that I couldn't. And so I think that, guys, community is incredibly, incredibly important. So if you look at here, Hebrews 10, 24, 25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. You have love for one another. Can you imagine the message? Can you imagine the example we would be giving to the world around us if they saw a church that loved each other that way? Wow. I happen to work at a Christian place now, but when I was working in a non-Christian environment, I would talk about my church family and the things that we did together and the families that we have. And they would be amazed that I had such good friends and people that would just show up and help me or do things together. And even now, my neighbors, I'm surrounded by some really fantastic neighbors. And one of them always says to me, you have a ton of, who are these people that are always around you or that you're going to visit all the time? And I'd say, that's my family. It's my small group. If you don't have a small group, please talk to Jen. I don't know, who do they talk to anymore? Jen, Velma, you? Okay. Talk to somebody and create that family. Because my small group has been my family here, has been my support, has been my prayer team. In fact, you know, Jen asked me to do this, I sent out an emergency text to all my praying people and just said, I'm freaking out. I'm freaking out. You know, this morning I get texts from each of them saying, I'm praying for you. You've got this. I'm praying for you. That's what community is about. Next, we can go to the next one. When you go into my living room, above my TV, I have this scripture, which is interesting that you read it, right? For Kingston, I think, or somebody read it, or Rob read it. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to the commandments that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. If you were to ask me about being a mom, about, you know, how do you tell your kids about Jesus? How do you share Jesus with your kids? You know, there's a lot of strategies and that kind of stuff. But our kids watch what we do. And they find Jesus in spite of it. Yes, you know, we are responsible for teaching them and talking about it and sharing with it. But my kids and the people around me, my friends' kids, you guys, it's not by talking about it, it's by living your life. We journey together, learning from each other, growing with each other. My kids have watched me work out my salvation. They've watched me fail miserably. They've laughed at me while I yelled at them in ridiculous ways. You know, they've watched me scream. They've watched me lose it. They've watched me struggle. They've watched me be sad. They've watched me rejoice. They've watched me have victories. They've watched me be in God's word, and they've watched me be apathetic towards God's word. They've watched me pray, and they've watched me grieve. They've watched me on my journey that has not been perfect. And that's okay. And I think what happens sometimes is, as community, we try to put on this perfect face. And it doesn't work. Because we know it's not real. And so I think the important thing here is that we journey together. We fail together. We rejoice together. We live together. And we be real together. And that's a huge piece of the puzzle. And I think, you know, as I was writing this, I kept thinking, you know, Jen, you asked the wrong people, because you should probably ask my kids, because they would be sitting here in the corner going, yes, yes. You know, they'd be giving their little commentary and rolling their eyes as I was talking, just because, you know, it needs to be real. And the other piece of that is, don't look to other people. We were at an IF conference for women. Was that 2 weeks ago? And Christine Kane made a really good comment that I thought was incredibly relevant. And she talked about the fact that we spend so much time looking at Facebook and looking at other people's lives that we forget our own. And ladies, I work in marketing, and there's a very well-known fact that if you are between the ages of 40 and 58, you are the top using person on Facebook. And you would be shocked to know how many hours we spend on Facebook. That doesn't mean, men, that you're not on it, but it's just saying, ladies, we use it. We're on it all the time. We are living our lives through other people. And I thought, Christine Kane, what she said was, stop looking at what other people are doing and focus on yourself. Focus on your walk with the Lord. And that hit me. Because I'm one of those ladies, chances are if you put a post, you're going to get a like from me within a few minutes. Probably. I want to be more like Henry. Henry is the best Facebook user ever because he comments. He's very gracious on it, but it's a man comment. Thanks. That's great. Good. Right? Those are... Whereas, you know, I don't know if any of you know Laura Lee Cochran, but she gives a paragraph answer to everything that you post. Right? That's what we do as women. And the fact is, I'm learning. I am growing to learn that regardless of what everybody else is doing or whatever everybody else's response is to what is happening around the world, I am accountable for my response. I'm accountable. When I meet the Lord, He's going to say, Tanya, what did you do? He's not going to say, hey, what did Chris do? Or what did Braden do? Or what did Colette do? He's going to say, Tanya, what did you do? Did you love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? Did you pray? Did you share? Did you live in community? Whatever it is that God is asking us to do, did you say yes when Jen asked you to speak? Right? But we are not responsible for how other people react to what we do as long as we're doing what God asks us to do. We're not. And I think we are so conscious of what other people think and how other people are going to react that we're missing out on that. Is that possible? That we're missing out on that? Because if we're really focusing on my walk with the Lord, if I'm focusing on what I am doing, then that's all I need to do. That's all I need to do. It's about discipleship, really, when it comes down to it. So, this is Robert Coleman. There's something called the Master Plan of Discipleship. And discipleship is one of those words, oh my gosh, it's an overused word. Everybody wants to be, I actually work for a company called Financial Discipleship Canada. And it's, you know, we kind of sit there and talk about, we go, yeah, that's our name, but what is discipleship? What does it even mean? So he says, we can take a great lesson from Jesus' example of not forcing the issue on his disciples. He wasn't banging them over the head, yelling at them on why prayer is so important and how they should do it daily. And Sandra, when you talked about the fact that you saw your mom praying and your grandmother praying, that's what taught Sandra how to pray. It wasn't that Lois said to her, you need to pray for your kids. Is she saw Lois doing it, right? Where am I? He just modeled for them, proving just how critical it is in life. He was just obedient himself to what God was calling him to do, and he just did it. That set the tone for his disciples on what it truly meant to follow him. I definitely think there's a place for us to look at our brothers and sisters in Christ and challenge them to draw closer to Christ and be obedient. But sometimes we fall into the trap of doing this too often and forgetting what obedience looks like for ourselves. I'm convinced the more we would be obedient to what the Lord is calling us to do, that would be contagious for others to see and would spur them on to do the same 10 times more than if we were just to tell them. Right? That's where real discipleship begins. And we are all called to be disciplers, all of us, whether it's to your kids, to your grandchildren, to your friends, to your neighbors, to the kids that are part of your life, to the adults that are part of your life. Those are the people, that's what's going to make a difference is they're going to watch you do life. They're going to watch you how you do life. And they're going to learn from that. In one of my deepest, hardest parts of my life, we had started a women's mentorship thing, and I was matched with Anne Wartz, and she walked me through that, and I don't even remember what she said, to be honest with you, but she walked me through it. She showed me what it is to be a woman of God. She probably said a whole lot of wise things, but I don't remember them. Sorry, Anne, I don't. But I remember her just meeting with me and walking with me through that journey. And what an amazing thing. So let's be a community. Let's learn together. Let's go through life together. Let's journey together. And let's grow closer to Jesus, because that's what's going to make an impact in our community. I hear that all the time. And I'm going to go on my high horse for 1 second before we leave. Is, you know, Jen and I have talked before, but we want to reach out to our community. How do we do that? It's by living a life of Jesus on our own lives. It's doing what we need to do in what God has given us to do. And that will impact the people around us. That will impact your kids, your youth, and your community. Can we pray? Father God, I thank you so much. I thank you for this community that has surrounded my family. I thank you, Lord, for each of the people here that maybe feel like they're not part of a community or they don't know what next steps they should take. And I just pray, Jesus, that you would help them, bring the people to them that can support them and encourage them. Help us, Father, to not just focus on what others are doing or trying always to just do what looks right, but help us to learn and to delve into you and to pray and to seek you with all our hearts, failings and all, but that we would seek you with all our hearts, Lord. We thank you and we pray these things in your holy name. Amen.